This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady. And also Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It is getting ready to rain a lot out here in Overland Park. And so be prepared for that. We'll talk to Gary Lezak a little bit later on and find out exactly how bad the weather is going to get on this Wednesday hump day. Already the middle of June, June 14th, 2017. Last night, if you got a chance to stay up late and watch the Royals against the San Francisco Giants, you liked it because the Royals took care of business 8-1. Jason Vargas was terrific again. And the debate rages on. Are the Royals going to trade him? But while we go back and forth and decide whether or not the Royals are going to sell guys like Jason Vargas, especially Jason Vargas. He is the perfect example of what could be a rental player for a contending team. But hell, right now, who knows? Maybe the Royals are a contending team. But Jason Vargas now 9-3 on the season with a 2.10 earned run average. After last night's effort, 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. He has 9 wins. He has a 2.10 ERA, and he helped lead the Royals to an 8-1 victory last night. And as soon as Jason Vargas completes his outing last night, I was reading Twitter and checking out what different people were saying about the game and about Jason Vargas. MLB Network Radio at MLB Network Radio tweets out, Jason Vargas with another dominant outing. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. So which contender do you think should deal for him? And they had a poll up, Yankees, Astros, Cubs, Orioles. And so that's what MLB Network Radio is thinking, not even asking, should the Royals trade? Will the Royals trade Jason Vargas? They ask in their poll question, which contender do you think should deal for him? So clearly they don't think the Royals are a contender. And by the way, I voted for the Astros. I mean, you know, I saw it. I've got a vote. Yeah. It's a Twitter poll. Good question. I mean, I feel like the Astros. They've got a lot of talent on the roster, but I told you I feel very confident that Dayton Moore will win most of his trades. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to answer any phone calls from the Cubs. I've seen enough of former Cubs here. The trio of Jorge Soler and Jason Hamill and Travis Wood I'm good. Hello? Just Theo. Theo Epstein. Click. Because I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna give the nod there to, I mean, you know what? Two terrific GMs. It's like Triple G and Canelo talking trade. Hell, I don't know. Neither one of them can understand each other if Canelo and Triple G tried to talk trade. That would be
hello,
funny.
It's a Triple G.
Okay. I was not going to vote for the Cubs there. I will decline that opportunity for the Royals to acquire any more Cubs. I'm just going to look to another organization. And the Orioles, the Yankees, they've got some talent. They've got some talent in the minors that they could deal. So that was my second choice, but my number one choice would be the Houston Astros because they are loaded with talent. And that seems like that's the perfect fit. What does everyone say about Houston? They need a starting pitcher. I say it about the Yankees, too, but I feel like the Astros, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. And for so long, they've been linked to Quintana from the White Sox. and that may or may not happen. But Vargas is pitching better than him. I mean, Vargas a left-hander. Vargas, who's pitching better than Vargas? That's going to be available on the trade market. And so, look, I'd like him to stay in Kansas City, but there wasn't an option. I vote for things. I like Twitter polls.
Mm-hmm.
But are you offended or taken aback or some people? I mean, I'm looking at the replies. Hey, the Royals aren't out of it yet. Hey, they're five and a half games back in the Central. They're not out of it. The Royals should keep them. How about the Royals keep them? Only four out. Slow down. Just people arguing and very angry. Was that? You think they're jumping the gun on that?
I don't know.
Like when you see that, like, ah. Yeah, that's right. What contender should trade for him? The Royals aren't a contender. That's a good Twitter poll. Or you'd like, hey, slow your roll. There's nothing set in stone here. MLB Network Radio. Jake, sounds like you like the poll.
I don't think they're going to contend. But, I mean, the Cleveland Indians are one game over 500, you know. I don't know how good Minnesota is. So, this division stinks, man. It stinks.
And yet the Royals keep losing to all the teams in the division.
Right.
Are they losing all the teams in the division or just the White Sox and Twins?
Pretty big portion of the division. I mean, their division record is not that good. Their outside of the division record's way better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that means. Maybe that's a fluke. You know, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either. It means that if their division sucks, they're still five games out of first in a sucky division.
I don't think it's a great division. I mean, I don't think this is a great baseball team. Right now, it's a team that's five games under 500. They're taking advantage of playing two of the only teams in baseball that have a worse record than them. So I get that, but I'm just saying that the only reason I would not proclaim this team out of it is because the division stinks. But that is a fairly significant reason. If the Indians don't want to start winning games, why are the Royals out of it? You know?
Because they won't win consistently either.
Well, and that's so the Royals are actually 5-4 against Cleveland.
I mean, they're not out of it, but can they get in it? Are they in it?
I don't know. I don't like to call a team in it until they're at least 500. Of course, if they were 500 in this division, they'd be like in second place. Well, they'd be right. Third place, half game behind Cleveland if they were exactly 500 right now. It's hard for me to call somebody in it if they're not even 500. They're on the bubble.
They could be on the bubble for the rest of the year.
That's very possible. But I do think they're still in a situation where you kind of slow play this thing. I mean, and see what breaks. See if, you know, like this is a 3-game winning streak for the Royals now. Does it turn into a 7-game winning streak? Or on the flip side, do the Indians start cranking out a bunch of wins? Does Minnesota cool off? I mean, I think you still slow play it. You got a couple weeks, you know, at least, before you have to really make a decision. And the only way it hurts you to wait is if somebody's offering you some ridiculous package for a guy like Vargas right now that's not going to be there in 2 weeks.
Or if Vargas starts to regress.
Yeah, it's true, and that's a good point because he's not going to pitch like this probably all year.
Or Vargas comes up with elbow tightness.
You shut your mouth.
Just saying that for me, that's the biggest fear.
Well, okay, so let's just be real here. Do you think he's going to have a 2.10 ERA at the end of the season?
Nope.
What do you think it's going to be?
Low threes.
Yeah, low to mid threes.
Okay, so then what would his ERA be to get to the low threes? Not in the low threes. I'm from this point
four
on.
4.5, something like that.
Point is, it's just being realistic. Yeah. His value right now is it's maybe at its highest peak.
And I mean, you could still dish him, and you wouldn't be. I mean, you'd still be in this division. I mean, you're getting Duffy back in about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks.
It would be a very well. There are some Royals fans out there like Taco Salazar and others that are longing for the Royals to go ahead and be aggressive and make deals now. But there would be a huge chunk of the fan base that would be bitterly disappointed and angry that the Royals, if the Royals pulled the trigger right now, while it appeared that they were still contending in the division.
Yeah.
They absolutely would.
Yeah.
And I
respect that to a certain extent. You know?
You guys have all noticed, I'm sure, unless your heads have been up your rears, which I, you know, whatever, how aggressive the Royals have been in the last month or so in attempting to sell tickets. With a lot of different angles that we haven't seen the past couple of years. You know, like that summer pass that they're offering, was it $100 and you come to every game for, I don't know, what is it?
It's standing room only, like the rest of the season for $99.
Right. You know, and four tickets and four hats for $40. I mean, just, they're...
Ticket promotions.
Right.
Sales promotions, yeah.
An email from Groupon in my mailbox.
Summer pass set actually sounds like kind of fun.
Yeah.
Back in the day, if I was like a high school kid, I never sat down at the games. I walked around the whole time anyway.
Right. I'm not criticizing perfect. That at all. That's excellent. Yeah. I don't sit down now when I go to games, really. I mean, it's a great deal. If you like going out to the ballpark, my point is you didn't see that the last 2 years.
Right.
There's
right.
no need for that.
Yeah.
And so, and if they started making deals, that would affect people going out to the game. They are cognizant of that. I hate to. Jake is shaking his head, but that's
here's another
part
thing.
Of it.
Here's another thing they're cognizant of. Hasn't there been a lot of talk about their TV deal being up? And they've been banking on all along that they're going to start making a lot more money off their TV deal. I think they've been signing some contracts based on the assumption that they're going to start making a lot more money off their TV deal, which I think they will. But I think that with the bubble bursting on some of the TV rights for people like ESPN, it might not be as much as they thought it was. And as the ticket sales have gone down a lot, the TV ratings are about half what they were last year and the year before. I mean, you know, the World Series year and last year, you know, they're pulling like 14s on a nightly basis, sometimes bigger than that. They were setting all kinds of records. And even like, I can't remember the other night I was watching it, you're looking at sixes and sevens and eights right now, which is still a good number. I mean, that's a lot of people watching TV, but it's just, I'm just saying like, they were producing television and ticket sales at a ridiculous level. And if they're worried about trying to negotiate a new TV contract, they dump all their players. You think the TV ratings have dipped a lot now, you know. What happens to the TV ratings if they dump all their best players in the middle of June? That's something that could be a consideration as well.
The Royals are four games out of the wild card. Right now, the two wild card teams would be Boston and Tampa. But again, the list of teams ahead of them is daunting. I mentioned Boston and Tampa. Cleveland, the Angels, the Rangers, Baltimore, Seattle, Toronto, Detroit. Those are all the teams ahead of them in the wild card standings, but it's only four games. So, I mean, what do you want to look at? Is your glass half full? Is your glass half empty? Do you have two glasses? Are you double-fisted? Do you have a buzz now because you're mad that the Royals in fourth place? How many glasses have you had? I mean, there's a lot of questions there.
Mm-hmm.
In the division, Minnesota's in first place. They have a 2-game lead over Cleveland, 4-game lead over Detroit, 5-game lead over the Royals. Hey, they're only 5 out. Hey, there's 3 teams ahead of them.
Right.
Hey, everyone's mediocre. Look, every week when we have Buster on, we have Mike Boddicker on, we have B-Mac on, we have Mike McFarlane on, hey, is it just this team? Is it just the Central's mediocre? Is that what we're dealing with here? And that's how it's going to be? And everyone always says, no, Cleveland eventually will pull away. Max says it. Boddicker says it. Buster says it. Nope, Cleveland's still going to pull away. They have not been deterred by Cleveland's mediocre start. And nobody, no one that I've heard yet has said, you know, Minnesota's a real contender to win this thing. Nobody.
Right.
Even after they had the huge shot in the arm of Jose Barrios coming up and pitching well. And is he going to be a Cy Young Award winner? No. But it looks like he is panning out to be an excellent starting pitcher and was a huge addition in season for them. Even after he was called up, looked like he's going to be the real deal. Does that change your mind? Nope. So still, around baseball, around when you ask the pundits, they still believe that the Twins are pretenders, it's Cleveland's division, and they are eventually going to run away with it. But I'm willing to at least entertain the idea that Cleveland's suffering from a world. Now the Royals handled it much differently after they were on the brink and lost in Game 7 of the World Series. They came back the next year, I mean, ready to roll.
Yep.
On a mission.
Yep.
And that mission was completed in New York by sticking a bat up the Mets. You know what?
Whoa. Hello.
I'm sorry. That's what happened. You saw it. I saw it. They smacked Mr. Met in the mouth. That's probably why Mr. Met's still mad, flipping people off. He's still mad.
He's got a
World Series hangover. 2 years later.
Matt Harvey just has a hangover.
Right. But Cleveland, that's a term used in the past because it's happened. It looks like they have not bounced back the same way with that chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. That was a tough World Series to lose. They were right there. I mean, remember how great that Game 7 was?
Mm-hmm.
Royals, that Game 7 was a tough World Series to lose as well. But the character of that team and the leadership, they bounced back and they won it all the next year. Cleveland could still do it, but it looks like they are still trying to make their way through this fog in the early season, which has led them to a 31-30 record. Now, they could turn it on. That's not terrible. No. They could turn it on.
It's mediocre, like
right.
You said.
But, I mean, I would also not be shocked if they ended up, I don't know, with a 5 or 6 game lead by the All-Star break, if they got hot and pulled away. Because that's what everyone's telling me is going to happen. And on paper, it looked like that's what should happen. But it hasn't. That's why, Jake, I tell you over and over again, you never listen to me. That's why they don't play the games on paper. You always say, look at this paper. Look at these papers I have. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, for reference, think about it this way.
Stratomatic cards.
What?
This Minnesota team that's in first place has the worst staff ERA in the American League. I mean, does that sound to you like something that's sustainable?
You said staff.
Staff. Obviously, their offense is doing all right, but
they gave up 13 runs to the Giants 2 games ago. They gave up 14 runs to the Mariners a game ago. And then last night, they scored 20 but still gave up 7. They had 20 runs. I thought that was funny. But there you see right there, the last 3 games, their pitching staff has given up 34 runs.
Oh!
So you're right.
And the Royals, by the way, meanwhile, if you look at it, the Royals were terrible in the month of April. There's no getting around that. They were 7-16. Since then, they're 4 games over .500. It's not great. It's not anything that makes you say, yep, here they go. But they have stabilized the ship. They have played decent baseball since then. They continue to play, you know, slightly over .500 the rest of the way. It makes you kind of wonder, is that good enough in this division? I don't know.
It's probably just agonizing for some fans, man. Just do, you know, blank or get off the pot.
Right.
Be good or be bad. Yeah. Don't be mediocre and straddle the fence where they can't make a decision and they get caught in no man's land.
And that's exactly what's happening right now. Because they were so bad that it was like, okay, it's an easy decision here. Things go like this for another month, we're out. And then they, you know, one game over 500 in May. Now they're three games over 500 in June.
Man, Vargas just looks so good. If I was another team, mm-hmm. I would be ringing the Royals' phone off the hook, trying to make a deal before someone else mm-hmm. snagged him. I mean, with the way he's pitched, and he's a veteran, and he's a left-hander, and he has postseason experience. Like, if you're Houston or the Yankees or one of these teams, how fired up would you be if you got him based on what he's done this year?
Right.
Through the roof.
With the schedule that's coming up for the Royals, I expect them to come back to earth a little bit. To their credit, they've taken advantage of two really bad teams in San Diego and San Francisco. But going to L.A. is going to be a different animal. Like you said, the Angels are a decent team, not great, but decent. Going to their place will be tough. Then playing Boston is going to be tough. I think Toronto's going to be tough, and at Detroit's going to be tough. So they got some tough games coming up to close out the month of June. I think maybe if they come back to earth a little bit, they fall a few games further below 500, then it becomes an easier deal when you start going into the month of July.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some basketball. Had a chance to watch the 30 for 30 on the Celtics and Lakers, and Nate Buchady will apologize to Larry Bird and his entire family after this on WHB.
Well, yeah, and again, we keep talking about it. It's just a matter of time. They're proven guys. They've got track records. And, you know, Eske with a big night tonight, a couple of hits. Gordy with a couple of hits. So you definitely see them swinging the bat better.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, did you watch any of the 30 for 30 last night?
No.
Magnificent.
I know.
I rolled on it on DVR. I cannot wait to watch it.
Magnificent. On the Celtics and the Lakers. Best of enemies.
I saw some clips after the fact on Twitter. And I heard some discussion on Mike and Mike about the McHale clothesline on Rambis.
There wasn't even a flagrant foul. It was just a foul.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Just a foul.
Yeah, two shots.
You know, it reminds me of the very famous George Brett, Craig Nettles, mm-hmm. slide into third base and then just throwing punches, right?
Good.
And when you go back and watch that, like I remember one time I went back and watched it, and like they clear up the dust up and then George is just standing at third base.
Like, that's right.
Nobody was ejected. They're just, they had a fist fight and now we're going to keep playing the game. I mean, it's completely different.
They could have done 2 hours just on game four of the 84 finals when that happened. And then when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar kind of hits Larry Bird with an elbow and they get face-to-face. And I mean, there was like five or six scrums or fights in that game. And, I mean, it was just awesome. And ML Carr, because then you start to, because I was 11, 12 years old, you know, during those finals and that, I would have been 11. And now you start to remember like ML Carr always on the bench, you know, waving the towel, and he was an unbelievable trash talker, and some of the things that he would say and some of the things that he did. That was probably my favorite part, listening to what he would do and what he would say and some of the things that the Lakers said that he said to them and did before the game and did after the game. Man, it was good. I didn't want it to end. I think it was like 3 hours. And then they're going to have it tonight as well. Because they left off with Boston winning the 1984 NBA Finals when Magic and Bird finally met in the finals after they'd each won a championship against someone else. So, just going through when Magic Johnson, when Jabbar got hurt, so Magic Johnson had to play game six of the finals against the 76ers at center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was stupid. It was so good though. It was fantastic. 30 for 30s are always good. I've never really seen a bad one.
Right, right.
But that one, there was, in the fact that everyone participated, most everyone participated in the interviews and the oral history of how everything went down. and you forget how great of a passer Larry Bird was and how he threw himself all over the floor, and then you could see why he ended up with so many terrible back problems. He hurt, and he hurt his back, I guess what he says, how he originally got the really bad back injury that led to, you know, him laying on the ground all the time when he wasn't in the game, and basically taking away some of the, you know, final years of his career, even though he was still an effective player. He was lifting something at his house and his farm, because he used to do all the work, and people would line up and watch him mow his lawn. It's like a big deal. He'd mow his own lawn, so people would want to. There'd be a traffic jam to watch Larry Bird mow his lawn. I mean, I'd go watch it. I mean, hey, look. Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, sit down and have a beer and watch Larry Bird mow his lawn, whatever. But he was he always wanted to do his own stuff on his farm or whatever. And that's how he got hurt. I mean, combined with the fact that he used to throw his body all over the floor and dive into the stands and everything else. But damn it, it was good.
I do apologize to Larry Bird and his family for what I said yesterday.
Get him on the phone.
I got carried away, you know, and I'm kind of ashamed of myself for sometimes your memory, I don't know, memory fades, and I think you start to, sometimes you remember players for what they were at the end of their career, like you said. Like, I remember kind of the injured Larry Bird, who still scored 20 points a game, by the way, at the end of his career, still was a really, like you said, a really good player, but he wasn't, and he was never some phenomenal athlete in terms of explosiveness and highlight reel dunks and stuff, but he was, his first step quickness was unbelievable. His ability to shoot was amazing. And my buddies and I, in high school at Bishop Ward, when I was playing on the basketball team, we would go to my buddy Mike McGinney's house and watch. Do you remember that there was an old video that was a video, like a VCR cassette, that was of about five or six different famous NBA players set to a certain music or a certain song, and it was just a highlight reel? I can't remember what the name of that was.
I'm not sure. When we were in grade school and high school, I used to go to my buddy's house to watch different videos. Yeah. Also set to music, but they were...
But they did one to Larry Bird to John Cougar Mellencamp's Small Town. You know, I was born in a small town, and we would watch that every game day. Like,
French,
you know,
Lick.
At McGinney's house, we would watch that video every game day. It would show all the amazing passes that Bird would make and the shots and all that stuff.
He was more Showtime than Magic with some of the passes. That's another underrated part of his game. And then, so he inspired you as a young boy, and then you turned your back on him.
Well, only briefly. It only took me a minute or two to apologize yesterday and walk my statement back. I do wonder how he and Durant would match up against each other. I still feel like Durant's taller than him. They're both listed at 6'9", but Durant seems a lot taller to me than him, but I don't know. But, like, you know,
that's just so weird. Like, how does he seem taller to you? I mean,
Durant looks taller than 6'9 to me. And there are people, like, people have said that some people, he doesn't want to be listed as taller than 6'9 because he thinks there's some kind, I don't know what, he thinks there's some kind of stigma with
maybe
it. Maybe
he's like,
he was measured 6'9 barefoot at the combine.
He just like, 69, I'm 6'9. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like,
yeah.
6'10 and a half with shoes on.
Okay. And so I wonder what is. Is Larry Bird 6'9 with shoes on?
6'10 and a half. What kind of shoes are you wearing?
I don't know.
I'd like to have some of those shoes.
1.5 inches?
Yeah.
Same.
Is that normal? Is that normally what shoes
are? Yeah, I think, they really? Usually add about 1 inch or 2.
Oh.
That's what I'm told.
What?
That's why I always wear shoes.
What?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the same thing or not?
I don't know.
Just watch it.
Yeah.
Just watch it. It doesn't matter if you like the Lakers, you like the Celtics, you don't like any of them. Doesn't matter if you think the Warriors are the best team or the Bulls are the best team or the Lakers. If you like basketball, just watch this 30 for 30.
It does put things into perspective as to how different the game is. You know, and the fact that Larry Bird never took more than 5 threes in a final. Steph Curry's never taken fewer than 6.
Mm.
Like, just how the game has changed in terms of the outside shooting and all that.
There's so many fights.
More fights.
That was fantastic. And we'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Well, yeah, and again, we keep talking about it. It's just a matter of time. They're proven guys. They've got track records. And, you know, Eske with a big night tonight, a couple of hits. Gordy with a couple of hits. So you definitely see them swinging the bat better.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Kansas City Royals beat the San Francisco Giants late last night, 8-1. Jason Vargas was the star of the game. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. 2.10 is his ERA. He is now 9-3 on the season. Whit Merrifield, 2-for-5 with 3 ribbies, a bases-clearing triple. Again, Jorge Bonifacio, 2-for-4 with 3 ribbies and a walk. Merrifield, Bonifacio hitting second, and then Lokane, Hosmer hitting cleanup. Sal Perez, Mike Moustakas, Eske, and Gordon all had 2 hits. So Perez, Moose, Eske, and Alex Gordon with 2 hits apiece. Jason Vargas had a hit. Everyone in the starting lineup had at least 1 hit. 15 hits on the night as the Royals put up 6 in the 6th inning and put the game away. Here is Ned Yost after the 8-1 victory. He tells us about the performance of Jason Vargas.
Sharp, he was on the attack, commanded his pitch count well, good off-speed stuff. Excellent.
Kind of almost become routine for him to do this now.
Well, I mean, he's been very, very consistent.
102 pitches for his 7-inning outing. And then Travis Wood pitched 2 scoreless innings. That's wonderful. Ned Yost also talks about getting some key offensive hits.
We did. I mean, Bonnie's bases loaded hit. I mean, we really excelled with the bases loaded tonight. You know, Bonnie's in the third, a 2-run single, then Eske with a 2-run double, and Witt with a bases loaded 3-run triple. So scoring came in 2 innings in the third and the sixth, but the sixth inning was a big one. You know, that gave us a lot of breathing room. Vargy was pitching great at that point, but, you know, 1-run lead and opened it up, you know, made it a 7-run lead.
So who typed up the throw sheet today? Is it Shane or Jake? Don't throw him under the bus if it was you. Was it Shane?
Oh, it was 100% Shane.
Okay.
What was it on these days?
I wanted to ask you.
What did I do wrong?
You didn't do anything wrong! Listen to me. For people that don't know, Shane, when he cuts up the sound, he will type a throw to set it up and give me an idea. Normally, I don't like to go word for word with a throw. I like to change it up a little bit. But I went word for word on this last one, and I'm just curious. I'm asking Shane, Ned Yost talked about getting some key offensive hits. Was there anything about any defensive hits, or was it just strictly offensive hits that he was talking about?
Well, you got to be specific.
Right.
It says it's too early for you to be like that.
I'm just asking you, like, with the Chiefs, and there's
too
some big,
early.
Hey, some big defensive hits out there for the Chiefs.
Off my back.
You just give up defensive hits, right?
I'm just asking.
The other team gets
did
hit?
Did he feel that he needed to be so specific for me? Like, I wouldn't know. Like, wait a minute. What hits are we talking about here? The offensive ones? Whoa, what are you saying?
You're being a jerk.
No, I'm not. I'm
you
asking
are.
Him.
Oh, is it my day today? Is that
it is
body?
Your day.
Every day's your day.
It is your day after you were if you were pretending you were going to hit my car yesterday.
Ooh.
Like you kept acting like you were gonna back up when I was backing up. I watched you. Trying to be a thorn in my side. Here's more from Ned Yost on getting some good production from the bottom of the order.
Well, yeah, and again, we keep talking about it. It's just a matter of time. They're proven guys. They've got track records. And, you know, Eske with a big night tonight, a couple of hits. Gordy with a couple of hits. So you definitely see them swinging the bat better.
We'll play some more Ned Yost, and we'll also hear from Whit Merrifield in the next segment. What?
Hey, sorry, I forgot to say the bottom of the order is a 7-8-9 hitter.
Right, right. You should have said the bottom of the batting order.
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
Like, what are you talking about? Their food order? The mm-hmm. bottom of it? Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So the Royals beat the Giants 8-1. Now, you stayed up late. You don't have to today. 2:45 game. An afternoon affair.
Not bad.
Between the Royals and the Giants. Jason Hamill Back-to-back good starts against an old friend, Johnny Cueto. Sorry. Still love him. Always will.
Always will. He brought.
I want the Royals to beat him, but I love him.
He helped bring the Royals a World Series.
I love him.
Yeah. He did take us to the World Series.
Johnny Cueto.
Some people don't, but I do.
Johnny Cueto.
Why wouldn't you love
him? Welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you, Johnny Cueto. Thank you, Johnny Cueto. And I'll tell you after this where you can watch the game with me today on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Johnny Cueto. He's our hero. Fiesta.
Well, yeah, and again, we keep talking about it. It's just a matter of time. They're proven guys. They've got track records. And, you know, Eske with a, you know, a big night tonight, a couple of hits. Gordy with a, you know, a couple of hits. So you definitely see them swinging the bat better.
To be. It's raining now, but it should be just fine later for happy hour. And even if it might be sprinkling, we got a roof over our heads, if you know what I mean. I just mean that there's a roof, so no innuendo there. Kind of sounded like I was trying to say something else. Join me in the Northland. Wherever I go, people ask me, what's your name again? And then they ask me, why don't you do any remotes in the Northland? And I usually say, well, I need to give a map to the sales staff so they can find the Northland, and then we can do a remote there. You get it? Because they're staying over in the park. Sorry. Be in my office at 10:05, all of you. Heads are going to roll. I won't be there, but just be in my office. Let me know what's going on in there.
Okay.
In the Northland, Berry Road, you guys remember where the wonderful Metro North Mall was? I wasn't kicked out of that mall more than five times. So
I feel like, did we go to the Metro North Mall all together?
Sure.
And eat pizza there?
Maybe.
Didn't we eat pizza, original pizza, at Metro North Mall?
Yeah. I mean, I know I have. A million times, and if you were with me at one of those times, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I have. I can't off the top of my head remember that, but yeah, it sounds like something I do. I mean, I've certainly done that, and you've hung out with me quite a bit, so I feel like the chances are very
high. There's a good chance that
happened.
Okay.
But today, you can go out across the street from where Metro North Mall was, is Power Play. Power Play North. And they have now opened up the Sandbox at Power Play, which is a beautiful sand volleyball complex. Sand volleyball leagues. You can sign up now. And remember, when you sign up for a league, if you mention Sports Radio 810 WHB, they'll give you a $25 gift card, good for the bar and grill there at the Sandbox. Features seating inside their 4,000 square foot pavilion. It's a beautiful barn grill that they can open up the doors, like garage type doors, and you're sitting right there beachside, right next to the sand. There's no water, but it's like a beach because there's sand. And enjoy some great food and drink specials today. The Royals game starts at 2:45. The happy hour is from 4 until 6. I'll probably get there at about 3:30, so you can watch the majority of the Royals game out there with me. I'm going to have some Border Patrol t-shirts to give away, food and drink specials. You could sign up for any of the summer volleyball leagues, and like I said, mention 810, and you'll get a $25 gift card to the Sandbox Bar and Grill. But come out and see me in the Northland today, happy hour, from 4 until 6, with great food and drink specials at the Sandbox at Power Play in the Northland on Berry Road. SandVolleyballKC.com for more info. SandVolleyballKC.com for more info. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you come out there, Jake?
I'll try to.
I'm extending the invitation.
I could probably only hang there till maybe 5 or so.
What's wrong with that? There's a lot of people in the Northland that would like to look at you, like to see you and say hello. But Sammy, do you know, by the way, Shane, that the microphone sometimes is on? And when you talk,
that was Bod.
Oh, is Bod a girl
yeah.
right here? Let me see.
That was Bod. Bod's here.
How'd he sneak in here? Let me see you. Hey, Mike, how are you?
He did it very angrily.
It's good to see you. I was locked
caught
in on something.
A bunch of crabs. Bod did.
Did he bring any in?
I was going to say something.
Mike Bodker can come out to the sandbox at
Hot Tubs, I heard. Take care of that. Play.
That's a
special shampoo.
False. I don't even know how to follow that up. I was going to say something.
Followed up by breaking.
You ever see the movie The Last American Virgin?
No.
It was, all the great R-rated comedies like Porky's and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You always hear about those. Horribly underrated in that genre. The Last American Virgin with one of the greatest 80s soundtracks. Look up that soundtrack. Google it in the commercial break, Nate Bucati. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, yeah, and again, we keep talking about it. It's just a matter of time. They're proven guys. They've got track records. And, you know, Eske with a big night tonight, a couple of hits. Gordy with a couple of hits. So you definitely see them swinging the bat better.
Mike Boddicker's in studio. He says he'd love to come up to the sandbox at Power Play in the Northland for happy hour to watch the Royals from 4 until 6. Mike Boddicker, one of the best sand volleyball players in Iowa history. Back after this on WHB.